That's right.
Volume up and get ready. Welcome to my podcast.
Usual Friday.
Hey, what is up, guys? It's Talk About It Friday, and tonight I have a special guest, Kathleen Harriman, a multi-general author from York, United Kingdom. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and tell your friends about our show.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, once, yeah, oh. Go on then.
Sorry.
No, go no, on. That's me. That's me. Go on.
All right. Oh, I think we're all being very polite. I started writing just before 2015 when I did my first book. Always loved reading. And as a kid, I'd always envisioned being this writer. It just took me a long time to actually get round to it. I've done lots of creative writing and that type of thing. So it was just sort of testing the water for me, really, and doing something different. So, yeah, no, that's a bit really about how I actually started. I've done lots of things like everybody does in life. Lots of different works and that type of thing. But I think writing has always been a true love of mine, and we're very creative as a family as well.
Yeah.
And writing's another way of expressing that creativity.
Wow. So is this something that goes in your family?
Yeah, not so much writing. My dad was absolutely amazing with his hands in that he painted. And he never had any lessons or anything, and he could paint the most magnificent pictures. And he was also a carver. He carved rocking horses. He just got up one day and thought, you know, I fancy doing a rocking horse. And that was it. He just sat and carved it out of wood.
Wow.
Absolutely, truly, he was very creative. And Mum likes poetry, so I think that's where I get that edge from. Because Mum's written a couple of poetry items, just really more for herself, but she's actually in a book that I produced a year ago, which is my first ever poetry book, and she's actually in there as a poet as well. So that was lovely. It was a real family book. My sister put some poetry in as well.
Oh, wow. So would you say that your writing's been triggered by your mum's poetry?
I think it's been triggered by Mum's poetry, Dad's creativity. And I also think that a lot of it's about the ideas that run in my head. I do an amazing amount of walking. I like the outdoors. And it's just amazing how stories just seem to feed and come to life as you walk in. And that's really, that. I think that's the essence of me, is how to bring those stories out.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. So the creative writing side of it, what is that about?
A lot of it is about expression. I like to be able to test things, to test theories, and look really at turning things on the head. Poetry is different because I think with poetry, it's more emotional based, and you obviously got a very short window to do that in.
Yeah.
And I think that tests you even more to make a few words resonate and impact inside you. It's different than writing a whole book or a story, really.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's lots of elements to the creativity and the creative side of what I actually do and like. And I do enjoy reading across genres as well, which I think, again, helps to express different levels of creativity.
Absolutely. Wow. So how many books have you written so far?
I've written 3 novels. I've done 2 psychological thrillers and 1 romance, which is a historical romance that's just come out now based around World War II.
Yeah.
And I've done 1 poetry book. I'm just in the midst of editing my next thriller. And I've also got written down ideas for a paranormal supernatural trilogy as well.
Wow. Very busy then.
Yeah, it's something. I think, you know, once you'll know yourself, because you're an amazing author, that once your creative juices go, they actually go rampant almost.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so you're trying to have all these ideas while they're there, ready, some of them to pick up later.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got to say is that I've wrote quite a few drafts, and they're like at the back of my drawer. But you know, it's not to say that I would never bring them to life. You know, there's a possibility that I will. Then it might be a possibility that I won't. You know, so yeah, I totally understand where you're coming from in that aspect of what you were saying.
Yeah, sometimes you park these ideas and then you come back to them, and I think you have a different clarity on it, and that's what makes it good. Nothing's ever lost with writing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. What would you say your favourite genre of writing is?
I've mainly done thrillers, and this is a thriller coming up. I think it's that testing theory. It's looking at things and taking things differently. And I find all the forensic work fascinating. The little things and how science is actually moving forward. Say, for example, the common fingerprint. From that, they can now determine somebody's eye colour, hair colour, and all sorts of things. And I think, wow, just from a fingerprint, that information's there.
That's incredible. Mm. Oh, I didn't even know that. So, wow.
Yeah, it's brand new. They're testing it out now. It was on one of the shows that I was actually watching. I haven't watched much TV.
Yeah.
But it actually caught my eye. And it's a way, because obviously not everybody's fingerprints are with the police on the database. So it's a way of being able to narrow down to a specific person, and if they can narrow it down to hair colour, eye colour, and culture backgrounds and everything, that I think that obviously helps them to catch the perpetrator.
Yeah.
But then writing, you're also thinking about this, because now science is moving on and you're thinking, right, so I want to basically get away with murder, or the character in the book does, obviously. How am I going to do that? And that's what I enjoy, the working it out and the looking.
Yeah, so it's like the catch-up, really, isn't it? When things like, you know, in life's like, you know, technology is getting so fast that, you know, we're having to catch up with that.
Oh, yeah, it's scary. Technology scares me. It moves so fast, and my kids are just like whizzes. And it's that shit, you know, that they're inbuilt with nowadays.
I know, right?
Oh, Mom, I can't believe you can't do that. They go, really?
Oh, no. Wow, that's crazy. So do you ever get bored of writing?
No, I don't. It's funny, really, because you sometimes think, oh, there must be a point where you need a break, or you've had enough.
Hmm.
I think during those times I actually look at writing something else.
Okay.
So that's when I look at and go back to other ideas that I've had. And I think because I wrote the historical romance with a good friend of mine who's also an actress, Lucy Marshall, and she was the one that came to me with this idea. And I found it really hard, because for the first time, somebody just couldn't pull on a pair of jeans and a T-shirt. You had to go back to what they were wearing, what life was like then, and what it meant, and the experiences. And that was really hard. So actually going back to a thriller was really nice.
Yeah, I bet. So would you say that your books are in more of a modern age, or would you say they're, you know, years back?
The thrillers are definitely modern age.
Oh, awesome.
Definitely. Yeah. It's what you relate to, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a thriller, I think it is easier for me personally. I take my hat off, and I am in such awe of historical writers, because they are absolutely amazing. The amount of research that they do just to get the tiniest little thing on point, like the type of shoe or the fabric, what the land was like, because it must be really hard, because I look down where I live and things change all the time. And you're going back to where there were no houses, the trees were there.
I know.
And you're describing that. And I think, wow, you're incredible.
I try not to overwhelm myself with all that stuff.
Yeah. The modern day stuff.
Oh, that's it. I mean, I do, I think Delusion is in first person view. you know, I love to write books in a first person's point of view. So what would you say about that? Is that something that you do, or is your books in third person?
No, first person.
Oh, first?
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm with you all the way. And
absolutely.
Do you not think writing in the first person, you're able to get their thought processes through and all the little things and the characters that make them more than in the third person where you're trying to describe it?
Yeah. I've got to admit, it's like sometimes when you're writing a book in first person view, you get that sense of more of attachment to that character than you do in a third person.
Yeah, definitely.
Quite scary, but you know.
it is. It's funny because I remember I did an interview a year or so back on BBC Radio York, and we were talking about the fact that I was writing thrillers, and he said to me, he said, how do you do with the characters? He said, is it based on your true life circumstances? And then he sort of looked and said, well, I'm not saying you're a killer. I said to him, no.
That's the only problem, is like, because I was doing a live interview on Facebook, and people was asking me about my book. I was kind of embarrassed at first. But then I said to myself, well, you're going to have to tell these people what your book's about. And I said, okay, it's about a stalker. And they was like looking at me really weird, as if to say, are you a stalker? I was like, no, it's just a blimmin' book.
Yeah, it's all fictional.
Exactly. Oh, it's crazy. I do enjoy writing. I've got a lot of work to do, to be honest. But because I started this show, you know, I'm interviewing you awesome guys, because I know that, you know, there's so many great authors out there, isn't there?
There are loads, absolutely loads. And becoming an author has absolutely opened a gateway of the amount of indie authors that are out there, and incredible indie authors that are out there. And I sometimes think it's a shame that mainstream bookshops don't recognise this. I think if they had a shelf where indie authors could actually put their books in, I think that those books would fly off the shelf.
Of course, fly so. Off. Yeah.
Oh, and that's incredible people as well.
Yeah, I know that. I do know a company in the UK that do that. Waterstones. I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, the Waterstones are funny. I've actually spoken to Waterstones.
Yeah.
What they say is, I think it depends on the area manager and the shop manager to whether they actually will do something like that. Now, I know the one in York at present isn't doing something like that, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But whether other Waterstones do, because yes, I've seen one of the other indie authors where he's got his books in there and the signed copies, which I think's really good, because as a bookshop, to have an indie author there but signed, because they make the most wonderful gifts, because it's very personal. Oh, look, I've got this signed book for you. Oh, signed by the author. Oh, brilliant.
Exactly. I do totally understand where you're coming from in regards of support with authors. Like, you know, it shouldn't be just, you know, I don't personally feel that famous people should get the limelight. You know, anyone can be an author. Anyone can write a book. It's a matter of, you know, how to get it out there, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's what a lot of us actually struggle with, is actually getting the recognition, because everybody wants to interview you if you are famous, because obviously that's an absolutely fantastic platform that's going to bring in the sales, but they're not so much interested in those lesser known people. And I just think they're missing something, because even somebody that is famous now wasn't at one point.
Yeah. Did you know Ask Me UK help hundreds of thousands of people with their expert advice and support? Asthma UK funded world-class asthma research to better asthma treatment. Asthma UK campaigned to improve the quality of care received by people with asthma. Let's stop unfair asthma by donating today at www.wayneclark.online. Let's all make a difference by donating to Asthma UK today. I know what you're saying. The The other question is that, you know, I could ask myself this question, but I'm going to ask you this question because of the fact that there's so many audience out there that are authors and writers. What would happen if there was no Amazon platform?
Well, I don't think there would be as many indie authors out there as there is today, because we all know that Amazon is one of the main resources that we all use to sell our books.
Exactly. That is the question that I asked myself, and my partner asked me this question as well, and I was like, you know what, that is a really good point. You know, regardless of other platforms like Kaboo being there, that's just, you know, online books, but, you know, we know as authors that it's great to have your book in your hand in print. It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
So without Amazon, where would we be?
Well, that's right. There's a lot of publishers out there that will print the book as a print on demand, similar to really what Amazon are doing. But I don't think it's as good as what Amazon are actually offering. It's not as easy.
Yeah.
As what Amazon are actually offering an author as well. And I do like Amazon. It offers a lot. You've got your Kindle Unlimited, which I think is a really good tool for indie authors as well. It's a weird one, but it's good. With the whole Kindle Unlimited.
Yeah. I like Kindle. I think Kindle's pretty cool.
Yeah. But go back to a book. I mean, I've got a Kindle. So I obviously have books on Kindle, but I also have paperbacks because I cannot get away from an actual book, a physical holding a book. So I have to have them. I have to have them in my room as well, because there's just nothing more incredible than actually holding the physical book. But I do have the Kindle as well, because when you go on holiday, rather than take 10 books with you, you just take your Kindle, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
If it's in your back pocket or your handbag.
Yeah. I think most people that do the Kindle version is like, well, you know, I like to read a lot of books and I can't take like 1,000 books on holiday with me, so I'll take my Kindle.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's when it comes into its actual own, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you have your Kindle, and it's absolutely great for that type of thing. But I couldn't ever envision a time where there wouldn't be a paperback book. I mean, you look at children, and I think even now, my children, I've always sat and read a book to them, and we've looked at the pictures and we've talked about it. I couldn't imagine a time where I never opened a book to a child and the child went, what's that?
Yeah.
It sort of got out its pad or its Kindle or something. Because I think that there is something so beautiful about a book that actually brings you and takes you into a story. And I think for children especially, it's nice to get them away from that techno world into a more... world of wonder, and that's what a book is. I remember picking up my first book and thinking, I'm not going to read the end, I'm going to read the book. I don't want to know what the ending is. And then you get to the point where, are they going to be alive? What's going to happen? And it's that torment, whereas I don't think as a Kindle you get that same reaction.
Oh no, you just get your battery dying.
Yeah.
So there you go. But bringing up technology and books itself, I mean, this is a really good topic to talk about. I mean, you know, we see things changing in schools now, and there's been something on the BBC about kids are not allowed to have their parents take them to school in a car.
All right.
Oh yeah, because apparently they're trying to make this new thing about a free zone of petrol.
Yeah. I drive an electric car and my kids walk to school.
I know. So it just goes to show is that, you know, will schools eventually, you know, before, you know, way over our time, say what, 2050, what would happen then? Do you feel that, you know, books are going to be replaced by Kindles?
No, I would hate to think that that would happen. I'd like to think that a school would maintain a library of books. But I think you're right, because I've noticed with my children, they're in secondary school now, and they don't have the same textbooks that probably you or I had.
Yeah,
and that's how it's going. some of the schools actually have iPads for the children. The school that the girls go to don't. Wow. But I think it's hard because with a book, a textbook for schoolwork, you're actually there to look things up. It's not just about typing something up and Google telling you, this is where you can get the information from. It's the physical essence of being able to cross-reference and the comprehension. And you lose that, I think, just to go digital.
Mm. I totally agree. Yeah. I just had this vision of like futuristic stuff. Like, you know, we see these films, don't we? And they're so futuristic. Yeah. And like, you think to yourself, is that going to be, you know, what's going to be around when we're not around?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether, because we all fall back and in a lot of ways through walks of life to old times. And I think that's where a book actually comes in as well. You couldn't, on your iPad, you could paint almost digitally, but it's not the same as picking up a brush and mixing your paints and being able to produce something. And I think a book is the same, that we don't, although technology wants us to move forward, there's a part of us that actually still gets the pleasure of the most simplest of things.
Yeah, I totally understand. Well, let's just keep fingers crossed that, you know, some kids will still get to, you know, have a feel of the old books called, I think it's Fuzz Buzz. I used to love that book.
Yeah. You can't get away from it, can you really?
No.
No.
I used to love was it Biff and Chip as well?
Oh yes.
Oh
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. And you see, they used to do little books where you used to scratch and sniff books.
Not me.
Oh, they were brilliant. There was one and it was all different ice creams and you'd be able to scratch and sniff the ice cream flavours.
Wow.
I know. And you couldn't do that on a Kindle.
Oh, no. You'd be smelling acid.
Not the same.
That's it. So how would you say that your marketing is, you know, regarding your books? I mean, do you find that a challenge or is it, you know, something that excites you?
I think the creativity side excites me when you're putting out the new posters or you're doing the postcards or you're doing new banners and that type of thing. That really excites me. The actual physical marketing where you've got all the social media, and I don't understand it all.
No.
I have to admit, it's sort of walking through treacle sometimes. You think you understand something to find that, oh, no, I didn't. So that aspect of it is always still a learning curve. And I think there's a percentage of me that sort of resists the social media as well. Simply because I like the essence of being able to talk to people properly as opposed to just a little, 280 characters.
Yeah.
And that type of thing when you look at Twitter. But saying that, they're an absolute marketing tool and it's the only way to be able to, social media is the only way really to be able to do multiple platforms and get your work known across the world.
That's absolutely true. Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of a love-hate relationship. That's what it is.
It is.
It is, totally. But kids love it.
No, it's absolutely. It's weird how, you know, social media is growing as well.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's amazing. There's always something new coming out. Mm. Some new app or... And I can't keep up with it all. I know the kids keep asking me. There was one year it was Musical.ly, and I said to them, what about Musical.ly? Oh, Mum, it's TikTok now, don't you know? And I'm like, no, maybe I don't.
Oh, don't. They're actually charging for TikTok now.
Are they?
They are now, because it's gaining popularity, and this is the thing.
Yeah. Well, this is the other problem, isn't it? Because as parents, children don't understand costings. And we never got this. You could walk down the street when I was really little and it'd be a game or a book or a jigsaw or a new dolly or something like that.
Yeah.
And it had a price tag to it, but you got it and you were satisfied with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
so many different levels that it hooks you in, and before you know it, it's that pressure that it's putting on parents to say to them, well, do you know, I want this, mum. Everybody else at school's got it. Why can't I have it?
I miss my days, mate. I really do.
Yeah.
I do. Because I was having this discussion with my partner, like how everything is changing. It's doing it so fast as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. It does. I mean, this is the problem. Things change in the blink of an eye, and there's always something else.
Yeah.
So it is. I think it's scary because the world as well seems to be moving faster and faster, and with that we forget to take just time really for us. Those simple pleasures where you just sit down and you talk, or you just go out, you know, and enjoy a glass of wine or a pint of beer, and just talk and just laze in the sun or whatever, and without a phone or an electronic gadget. And I think that's what we tend to miss.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, today I had to take a few steps back, and I went out and done some gardening, and I absolutely enjoyed it.
Yeah. I think there's pleasure really to be found in all sorts of things, and we just forget. But the mind needs that. It's almost like your well-being. You need to feed it. And I think that's why we've got a dog, so that's why I go out walking quite a lot.
Yeah.
But sometimes I like to take my camera and take pictures and that type of thing. And the dog's always on the little Twitter, FF Ways for Friday. but it's like a breath. When things aren't going right, or even when I'm in a story, and sometimes you're writing away and the character will do something because they do take over control of the author, really.
Yeah.
In certain situations where you think, how the heck am I going to get them out of that? Just like, right, I tell you what, I'm just going to go for a walk and clear my head. And it's amazing, actually, how that little bit of time just walking in the fresh air takes your mind off something, and you go back and think, oh, actually, yeah, why didn't I think of that when I was sat here?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So where do you see yourself in a few years' time, do you think?
In a few years' time, I would like to see myself probably being able to do the writing full time.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? People say, oh, you're an author, and all of a sudden they've got pound signs or dollar signs in their eyes.
Mm.
No, reality is very, very different. And I would love to be able to be an author full time and be able to make it actually, this is my career, this is where I can earn a living. I've never sort of thought to myself, oh, I want to be one of these famous authors and have all this. I want to write. I want people to enjoy what I write. I want them to feel and have that connection to it and to be able to grow as an author. And that's what I would like to really be able to do over the next few years.
Yeah, no, I totally got the same attitude, to be honest.
Yeah, I think you write for you, but you write for your reader as well, but you've got to connect. And I think if you're writing solely because you want to be Stephen King or J.K. Rowling, you're not writing for the right purpose. And most of the enjoyment that I get out of my writing is the simple pleasure of connecting.
Yeah, I totally understand that. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you there?
Yep, absolutely, I'm here. Had a connection problem then. What advice would you give to someone that wants to start writing?
I would say if that's what they want to do, then just think about the story. Think about what you want to write. Think about your strengths and go for it. But also, you've also got to think about, and this is the huge issue, because being an author isn't just about the story. It's about how to market your book, as you've mentioned before. It's the look of your book. It's the audience. It's about the reader. So you need to be able to have a clear path of actually what it is that you want to write and how you're going to get yourself known as well. How are you going to get yourself out there? And I think that's really, but write what's inside you. Don't write to be somebody else or try to sound like somebody else, because I just don't think it works, and people don't, or the reader doesn't get that connection. And I think that's the most important thing. Some of the books that I've read, I've actually had to leave for a week because the character's done something that I didn't like. And that shows that I've really connected to that story. And the fact that I thought, oh, no, you can't do that. I just had to go away and think, right, you know, just leave it and then come back to it, shows that in-depth connection to what the author has written. I think it's a huge compliment as well to an author to know that that reader is connecting emotionally to the story. And I think that's what writing's about. Don't write to be somebody else. Write to be you and let your characters develop.
Yeah, absolutely truth. I like that.
Yeah, just never give up.
Yeah, that's it. Keep pushing forward.
It's because we all get knockbacks. So it don't care who you are or who you know, when you were starting out or anything. We all get knockbacks. Yeah, take a day or so just to get over it and then get back on it. It's like, well, the old adage, isn't it? It's like riding a bike.
That's it.
Riding a bike without falling off.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Anyway, it's been an absolute pleasure for you coming on the show, and I really appreciate you giving this opportunity to us.
Thank you very, very much for inviting me away.
Absolutely. So don't forget, guys, you can check out Kathleen in the description and check out the links as well. So yeah, I'll catch up with you after the show.
Yeah, wonderful. Thanks, Luke.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye.
We are on air. It's Talk About Friday.